The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Tom Williamson of KIIC Radio in Albia and Terry Quick-Matsey of Successful Farming. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Yes, Senator Grassley, you have kicked off a summer-long initiative to highlight the importance of congressional oversight and also kind of declared it whistleblower appreciation time. What motivates you in this regard? Your oath of office, the Constitution, what's your focus here?
Well, I don't think we teach the Constitution enough when we have government high school and colleges, but everybody thinks our job is to pass laws and appropriate money. But we also have an additional responsibility to make sure that the executive branch faithfully executes the laws the way Congress intended them to be executed. And that's called checks and balances, or you can call it oversight. The process of carrying out checks and balances, I guess you call oversight. So what motivates me is, number one, it's a constitutional responsibility. Secondly, it's when it comes to whistleblowers, there's a lot that when you got 2 million employees that heads of organizations and members of Congress can't be on top of, and you have people that see something wrong and they go through the chain of command to try to get it corrected, and it doesn't work. Up to that point, they aren't technically a whistleblower, but when they come to Congress to tell us that something's wrong and it isn't being done, then they become official whistleblowers, and they need protection because they're retaliated against. And by being retaliated against, they're being retaliated because they're doing something patriotic to simply make sure government's doing what the law is required to do. And I don't think they should be so treated. But my constitutionally, and then where do you get the information? A lot of you get it from whistleblowers. It isn't the only place you get your information for oversight, but it's a main source, and they need to be protected. And that's my interest in it, just carrying out my responsibilities. Terry?
Good afternoon, Senator. Good to talk to you. Trade is on everybody, particularly in agriculture's mind these days, and we hear a lot of phrases thrown out there like working on markets other than China and close to making agreements. But how long can this go on before the producers can't recover from the trade disruption? And now there's talk of maybe withdrawing from the World Trade Organization. What is the real situation out there, and what can producers do?
Well, if you sold soybeans for $7.90 instead of maybe being able to wait and see if this stuff could be settled and then sell them, you're already paying a price. Generally speaking, I can say that people are very nervous about these negotiations that are going on, or they're nervous because the negotiations might not be going on. In the meantime, you have tariffs. In fact, almost every one of my 99 county meetings, including 10 that I had last week, trade was a very big issue coming up at every one of them. That's why I hold these meetings, so I can directly hear from Iowans, and particularly on trade from Iowa farmers. And there's just basically a nervousness out there. I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't wish that Trump can get us a better deal. And if he did, they would be for it. And if they had some assurance that this is where it was going to end up, I think there'd be less nervousness. But quite frankly, that's where we are right now. People just don't know, and the uncertainty isn't very good. Leaving the World Trade Organization, I don't think that's going to happen. Back to Tom.
Yes, Senator. Tonight, the media focus will be on President Trump's selection for the Supreme Court. And as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, what's your next step? You get right to work tomorrow morning on this candidate?
The answer is yes. I'll probably be interviewing that candidate tomorrow sometime. He'll come to my office. Usually that's the way it happens, number one, because I'm chairman of the committee. But we'll just have a very general discussion then. Actually, the hearing, which may be 45 days away, I'm not sure I can speculate too much, but it's not going to be tomorrow, obviously. And in the meantime, we're going to have the staff on the Democrat side and on the Republican side for each of the individual members, and for Senator Feinstein as leader as a Democrat and for me as leader as the Republican, we're going to be going over every court case, because these guys are all judges at a lower level, going over every opinion they've written in order to make intelligence questions at the hearing and find out if this is the kind of judge that we want. And for me, that's basically being a person that is going to follow the Constitution to its original intent and be a person that sees the Constitution as a contract with we the people, because we the people decide to grant some authority to the government that we formed. So the Constitution is there to protect us from the government, and you want, that's exactly the kind of people you want on the bench. You want people that are going to look at the facts of the case and the law and leave their own judgment, their own personal political views out of the decision. Back to Terry.
Yes, the renewable fuel standard has sort of been an ongoing battle for you guys out there lately. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is that they put out some fairly good figures for 2019, including the 15 billion gallons we always talk about of ethanol from grain, but they also put out maybe 19 and a half billion gallons, the rest of it coming from biodiesel and from cellulosic ethanol. And the numbers are nice, just like a year ago now, the numbers they put out were nice. But then you know what we found out? They granted waivers to some refineries, didn't have to blend. And when they grant those waivers, we ended up, instead of 15 billion gallons from grain, about 13.5 billion. So it's a gross figure, and we need a net figure of 19.5 billion. Or for just corn ethanol, we need 15 billion gallons net, not gross. And so fighting the irresponsible granting of waivers to small refineries, and I'm not saying that there shouldn't be some waivers granted, but the law says in only hardship cases. So when they grant to a company that made $1.5 billion profit, or a company named Marathon, I don't consider those hardship cases. And so we're having maybe great joy over 19.5 billion, but that's not the real world. We've got to get these waivers under control. Back to Tom.
Yes, Senator Grassley, you've authored the Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act here lately, and bipartisan support. What is your goal? What upsets you about the current system?
Well, the current system is based on mandatory minimums. And I don't have any problem with mandatory minimums. But there's some unfairness in the situation. In other words, some people may be getting a 25-year sentence when they should only got a 10-year sentence. But the law requires the judge to go with 25 years. So our sentencing reform bill is pretty simple. It gives a person in prison another bite at the apple, go back before the same judge, same prosecutor, to see if there's some unfairness, and the penalty could be reduced. It doesn't let anybody out on the street just because they got a favorable second ruling from a judge. But it's meant to bring some fairness to an admittedly unfair sentencing scheme that you have when you have mandatory minimums. Terry, go ahead.
Immigration. I think it's becoming increasingly clear that our immigration system doesn't work for a lot of people on either side of the issue. When are we going to see some real reform addressed instead of just putting Band-Aids on the emotional issues?
Okay, I'll give you a short answer, and if you want a longer one, ask me another question. But we aren't going to do it until we prove to the country that we can control the borders. We've been talking about it for 20 years. We've never done it. We don't have credibility with the people. And if you're going to pass comprehensive reform, you have to have You have to have credibility with the people when you say you're control the border. So we got to prove to them that we're going to deliver on what we've been talking about for a long period of time. And then we can easily get to comprehensive immigration reform.
Does that mean a wall, or are there other methods to control the borders that need to be looked at?
Some wall, like we already have some wall, but so I should say some more wall. I don't want to say whether it's 50 or 500 miles, but some more wall, but electronic surveillance, more border patrol, do away with the catch and release system we have greater interior enforcement. All we got to do is you don't have to have a 2,300-mile wall. All you got to do is convince people that you can't enter this country without proper documentation.
Thank you.
Tom?
Senator Grassley, for years, of course, you have championed closing loopholes in farm programs that seem to allow excessive bucks to go into remote landowners. In the latest version of the farm bill the Senate passed, are you satisfied with that aspect?
Yeah. My amendment was included that has a hard cap on what any one farmer can get from the farm program in the way of subsidies, and it also defines a person that can get that as being a real farmer. We use the words, legal term, actively engaged in the business of farming. And that's the difference. And it was in the Senate bill. It's not in the House bill, so I hope we can keep it out of conference. Terry, this will be the last question.
Just more on the farm bill. How do you think things are going to proceed here? What kind of snags do you look to run into?
Yeah. Well, I hope we don't run into a snag on the amendment I just talked about that I got in the farm bill on a limitation on what one farmer can get, and he's got to be an operating farmer. So I'll go to maybe food stamps. The House passed work requirements. There's no way we can get through work requirements for food stamps through the Senate. So when it comes out of conference, the House is going to have to drop their work requirements for food stamps and go along with the Senate approach on food stamps. And if they don't do that, we won't have a farm bill. And I've looked for compromises in between nothing and what the House has in their bill. I haven't found it yet. If it's out there, I would surely support it because I do support work requirements, but I don't want to hold up a 5-year farm bill just because we don't get everything we want on food stamps. Okay, thank you both very much.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Tom and Terry, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.